Good morning, Bethel.
Take three. So I've had some technical difficulties with my computer, my laptop. I have recorded this message twice now. So this is number three. I even said in the second message that if this does not work and I have to record this three times, it's going to be obvious that the Lord wants me to hear this message more than anyone else. And amen to that. And you'll understand it better by and by. Let's pray. Father, we just beg you right now to, first of all, let this work. I pray that this will record. Pray that this message will record in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that you will do your will and way in this service. For your glory. Change us to look more like you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. What a week. As you know, we laid to rest Sue Leach yesterday. Jeff Folk left us on Wednesday morning. It's been quite the week. It truly has. And you throw in there everything that's going on with the remodel, the special called meeting that was a tremendous sweet spirit. I cannot say that enough. Excuse me. And so, if you have any questions about the special called meeting, maybe you're even there and you have questions, call me. Be glad to talk to you. But long and short of it is that once they pulled the carpet up, they saw all the issues and such that we have. And so they added significantly to their bid to do it right. And we voted Tuesday night to move forward with that bid. And so you got any questions, you call me and we'll talk about it. But again, the week has been something. You add to that 9/11, Sunday school picnic preparations. I have a family wedding happening there today because we recorded this on Saturday. You're hearing it on Sunday morning. And of course, then we found out that we couldn't have in-person services. So trying to, the stress, if you will, the angst of not getting everybody the word. We will have someone here that if someone does not get the word, there to apologize to them and point them to this online message and the such. But we're doing the best we can. This is, of course, reminiscent of our quarantine time a year and a few months ago. So this isn't strange to us. We're used to doing this. But I hope and pray that you know, Bethel, that we would not be doing this if there was another way. This is the right way to proceed at this time. And I wish I could tell you that this will be the only Sunday we're having to do this. I don't know. We will see. I'm asking you to pray that the remodel will go well and quickly and the such. So, could not be more proud. I want to stress and make sure. I could not be more proud of how the church has cared for our grieving families and those that have experienced sudden loss. The deacons and their wives have been amazing. The staff have been tireless, and the church as a whole has been a cheerleader to me and ever ready to help at the drop of hat. So all of this reality, every time we have a loss in our church, or every time I experience a loss, someone close to me, just that stinging reality of death, the finality of death, it gets me in that solemn thinking. And so as I was preparing for this message, these are the thoughts that started permeating, if you will, my mind, my spirit, my heart. And that is that the difference, if you will, between the physical realities and the spiritual realities, they're both just that, they're realities, but one extends so much farther. And one is not necessarily attached in total to the other. So what are the physical realities? The physical realities, and what I'm talking about, is our seasons.
And not all of our planet experiences the four seasons that we do, but all of our planet experiences seasons. And there's certain essences, if you will, there is a certain essence about each of those seasons. So I want you to think just for a moment. I want you to try to give me one word that, in your opinion, is descriptive of the essence of the particular season. So if I say the word spring or springtime, what's the first word that comes to mind? I played this little game with Dawn, and her first word with spring was beginnings. And that was the same word that I had. She said new beginnings, and I reminded her, it's one word. And then I said summer. Well, you know what she said? Beach. No, 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 no. The essence of the season. She said beach. So, you know, no wind there. Growth was my word. I prefer that word so much better than the word beach, because I think it describes the essence of what's happening in the summer. So you've had the new beginnings in the spring, and now you've got the growth of those things that began in the spring during the summer. And then you have fall, harvest. You have, you're harvesting those things that you planted back in the spring, those things that you cultivated in the summer. And so now you have the harvest. And then you have, in the winter, you have rest. So you've planted seeds in the spring, you've cultivated them and seen them grow in the summer, you've harvested them in the fall, and then you rest from your labors, and you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor in the winter. And so now I want us to look at the correlation of the spiritual seasons, because I believe, and you look at Scripture, it's full of those correlations and parallels, but yet there's some major differences too. So when you look at the seasons, remember, we're talking about seed planting, spring, cultivating, growth, summer, harvest in the fall, rejoicing, and winter, rest, rejuvenation, and reflection. You have all those seasons in the spiritual realm. So simple title, what are the guidelines of ongoing spiritual seasons? What are the guidelines of ongoing spiritual seasons? Point number one, and I can't remember now, this is the third time I've preached this message in the last hour and a half. I can't remember if I've read this passage. So let's just read it. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So what do we got going on here? Remember, this is John chapter 4. So Jesus has just shared the gospel, him, to the woman at the well. And the disciples previous to him meeting the woman were sent to the town to get victuals, to get food. And so they come back expecting him to eat. He doesn't eat. Why? He's got meat that they know not of. Verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. That's the physical. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, spiritual, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages spiritually, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, spiritual, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth spiritually may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps, spiritual. I sent you to reap, spiritual, and that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. So what are the guidelines of ongoing spiritual seasons? Point number one, looking at verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We cannot lose sight because of the physical, if you will, distractions and lurings of our world. We cannot lose sight that we are not put here for physical reasons. We have been put here for spiritual reasons. So point number one, we have a calling on our lives that transcends the physical. So these are the bullet points under point number one. It's not stopped. The spiritual seasons are not stopped by the physical. So what does that mean? Our physical limitations are not truly limitations to the spiritual seasons. Well, Brother Ben, I'm just really not good at talking to people about the Lord. Doesn't matter. Do what you can. Moses had that same excuse, so God gave him a spokesperson. If you and I will buy in totally to the spiritual seasons in our lives and that they transcend the physical, we'll figure it out. The Holy Spirit will lead you into what you need to do. He will equip you so that you can share the gospel to your sphere of influence. But notice here, the second bullet point under point number one, we have a calling on our lives that transcends the physical. The spiritual seasons can be enhanced by the physical. We're seeing that with our remodel. We told you from the get-go of our remodel that this wasn't for Bethel. This wasn't for us to go, wow, don't we have a beautiful church? This was for the people that we, in our spiritual seasons, in our spiritual seed planting, cultivating, and harvesting, as we bring them to the Lord's church, that they will know that we know what century it is. That they will know that we know that it's 2021. That's the purpose of the remodel. It was amazing. I mean, this week I got this testimony that one of our folks that are heavily involved, if I said their name, we all know them, and they were told about 3 years ago before they came. And this is someone who loves the church, supports the church, attends the church. They were told, do not look at the decor and make a decision. Now, and they didn't. They came to the church and they just let the church be the church and they fell in love with us and they're a part of us. Now, watch this. We don't want our folks to have to say that. We want to remove that hurdle. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. But once we get here, need not to care what the church looks like. You see, that's bullet point number three under point number one. It is more important than the physical. The spiritual seasons of our lives are more important than the physical. So if you stay here long enough, this remodel is going to go out of vogue too. It's okay. It's okay. The spiritual seasons are more important than the physical. How about this, the last bullet point under this point? Its results last far longer than the physical. You see, the soul of Jeff Folk is as alive today as it has ever been. The soul of Sue Leach is as alive today as she has ever been. She's not walking around with a cane today. She doesn't have glasses on. No physical limitations. Why? Because somewhere in their past, both of them dealt with their sin debt with God. And they accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for their sins. And the seed of the gospel was planted. And it was cultivated. And it was harvested. And now the soul has been harvested to heaven. And now in heaven, they have the rest of their life. You see, that's what gets me through these difficult times. Knowing that the spiritual seasons are more important than the physical. Doesn't matter now the social economic status of these two individuals. They are children of the King in the kingdom of the King. Point number two, look at verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The physical and spiritual are two separate realities. The spiritual seed planting, cultivating, and harvesting is constant, or at least can and should be. So, if you go out right now and you plant a tomato seed in the garden, it's probably not going to do very well because we are entering into fall. Planting season is done for the most part, especially for summer-loving plants. Not true for the spiritual harvest. Not true for spiritual seed planting. Not true for spiritual cultivating. That goes on at all times. And this is interesting to me that within your sphere of influence, you've got different seasons going on with different people. So with some folks in your sphere of influence, you're planting seeds. Some folks in your spiritual influence, you're cultivating, you're growing, you're discipling them, if you will. Some you're harvesting. It's all different with different folks. We're at different stages with different folks. And this is the neat thing, looking at verse 36, point number 3, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Point number 3, the spiritual seasons reap eternal benefits that cannot be quantified. They are priceless. You see, that old axiom is true that if this event, whatever this event is, whether it's the remodel, whether it's the Easter walk, whether it's Sunday school, CR, Awana, Sunday school picnic, it is worth the effort. If one person comes to Christ, it's worth the effort if one seed is planted, because those souls are priceless. They live forever. And you might say, well, really, Ben, that just seems like we're setting the bar so low. One seed, one person? Well, in 200 million years from now, that one person is still eternally grateful. And so, yes, you can't quantify it. It's priceless. The soul is priceless. Point number 4, 36 and 37. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored and you are entered into their labors. The spiritual season's harvest is a shared reality. I think this is so cool. We've got some folks at Bethel Baptist Church that we have harvested that people 20 years previous planted the seeds. We have some folks that we're planting seeds that potentially 20 years from now, if the Lord tarries his coming, someone else will cultivate and harvest. And so when we get into heaven, can you imagine that service? God says, okay, all of you seed planters, cultivators, and harvesters, and many times it's the same person, y'all get together and meet each other and tell your stories. And in that story will be the very person that the seed was planted. Oh, yeah, yeah. Bill's the one that planted the seed. Sue's the one that cultivated. And this guy here helped me come to faith in Christ. Point number 5. Now, we've got to turn to Matthew chapter 9 to get this final point. Matthew chapter 9, and we're looking at verse 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's a mouthful. But when he saw all the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, here it is. This has all been pretty exciting stuff, pretty good stuff. And this one's going to hurt, I'm just going to tell you. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Point number 5. He has left the abundance of the harvest in our hands. On no level am I saying that I do not believe that we are sincere when we say, Brother Ben, we want Bethel to grow. I'm begging and hoping and praying. You know I am sincere when I say I want Bethel to grow. I want people to come to Christ. I want those baptismal waters filled. I want people going through the baptismal waters. I want people being discipled. I want the church growing. The results, to some level, are in our hands. Pray ye, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. And even though I know that all sorts of sovereignty issues come into play, all sorts of we can only do what we can do comes into play, well, here is something God has told us we can do. We can ask him to send laborers. And I believe that it's pretty clear he will. So, Bethel, I'm begging you, pray with me every day that the Lord will help us to plant seeds. Pray every day that the Lord will help us to cultivate those seeds. Pray every day that the Lord will help us to harvest. Pray every day that the Lord would send laborers into the fields to harvest. He's left the abundance of the harvest in our hands. Let's pray. Lord, I'm begging you to help us to be seed planters. I'm begging you to help us to put so much more emphasis upon spiritual seasons than the physical. I pray that that point number one will be our life's call, that your spiritual seasons transcend the physical. Lord, help us to plant seeds. Help us to cultivate. Help us to harvest. Help us to rejoice. Help us to rejuvenate. Help us to rest. I ask all of these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Got a few housekeeping things. If you are not a Bethel member or attender and you just sign in to watch Hallelujah, Praise the Lamb, you can certainly sign off at this point. This is housekeeping stuff, but very important to our folks. Zach Trammell will be giving his testimony at Celebrate Recovery this Tuesday. Today will be, this recording will be on September the 12th. So September the 14th, Tuesday at 6 p.m., they'll feed you. And then afterwards, Zach Trammell, who was baptized at Bethel, God used the Celebrate Recovery at Bethel to help Zach. He'll be giving his testimony. Invite your friends tonight, which is September the 12th, to the Sunday School Picnic starting at 3 p.m. Awana Open House starts September the 22nd. The Merrimack Retreat, if you do not know where that's at, that's 15312 State Highway A. Call me if you have any issues or need any assistance. Again, the Sunday School Picnic starts at 3 p.m. That's what I got. I sure hope this recorded. I love you, Bethel. I'll do this 16 times today if I have to, because I want you to get this message. May the Lord bless you.